Acts chapter 5. And verse number 42. Now the background of this verse is the especially Peter and John, who had been in prison for preaching the gospel, and they've been released. And it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So to teach and to preach. Now we know what it is to preach Christ. It's to preach the gospel and tell people how he died for their sins and was buried and rose again the third day. But the gospel isn't just how he died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. What's the benefits of the gospel? That's the teaching of Christ. And that's what we want to look at a little bit tonight, at the teaching of Christ. We're going to look maybe in the first, in the second epistle of Corinthians. One time many years ago, I picked up a couple of hitchhikers. And at that time, I used to pick them up. I was traveling quite a bit. I used to pick them up for two reasons. To give them a ride, and to tell them about the Savior. So I started witnessing to these two. I don't remember. I think it was a fellow and a girl. And told them I was saved. And one of them said, what are you saved from? Now, somebody asked you, what are you saved from? What would you tell them? You'd like to say, well, I'm saved from hell. Is that all you're saved from? See, it's one thing to know how to be saved, but it's another thing to know what you got after you're saved. What is salvation? So this is what I want to look at a little bit tonight. What is salvation? I was telling somebody, I was telling Wade, in fact, I preached on this a while ago, and I told somebody that I was saved in heaven 53 years ago, be 54 years ago this August. My salvation took place in heaven. Now, I was on earth when it happened. I was home. But that's where I trusted Christ. But that isn't where I was saved. I was saved in heaven. Now I've got you thinking, haven't I? Well, let me explain. I want to look at this verse first to show you that there are three aspects to salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Salvation in the Bible is a deliverance. And Paul says about God who raises the dead in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. Now that's in the past tense. Paul said, we're already delivered from so great a death. And that so great a death is the second death, eternal death in the lake of fire. But he says, and he death deliver, that's in the present tense. And it says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver, that's in the future tense. So right off the bat, salvation has three tenses to it. There's a past part, there's a present part, and there's a future part. So if you just say, I'm just saved from hell, you're only taking one part of God's salvation. There are other parts. Now these three parts of salvation is called justification, sanctification, and glorification. Now those are big words. The body has three parts. Salvation has three parts. God is a three-part being. Just one salvation that has three parts. The first part, we are justified. The second part, we are being saved. That's from the power of sin, that's sanctification. And then the future, when the Lord comes, we're going to be glorified. That's the last part. That's the future part. So the three parts of salvation is here. Now let me explain what I mean by me being saved in heaven. And you were saved in heaven too. You see, in heaven there's a court. There's a throne. Psalm 97 at verse 2 says, the habitation of God's throne is justice and righteousness. God has a throne in heaven. It's a judgment throne. Abraham said in Genesis 18 and verse 25 that he was the judge of all the earth. Now, God already took us in court when Adam sinned. He took him in court and he was branded as a sinner and driven out of the presence of God. So the whole world is guilty before God, Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. When I was born, the minute I started sinning against God and living my life of sin, in God's court, there were charges waiting against me there in God's court. He took me into court, as it were. And I was charged, and so was you. We were charged there with all of our sins. Now, God didn't bring us into court. He's going to bring the sinner into court at the great white throne judgment, but we've all been into God's court to begin with as sinners, and we've all been charged as being unrighteous and sinful. We've all been charged and we've been found guilty, and God says there's none righteous, no, not one, and we're all been there in God's court, every one of us. So when a sinner trusts Christ down here on earth, God takes them back into court again. And God says, now, he brings them back into court. He says, all those charges that I have against you have all been met in my Son. And now I'm going to justify you. Justification. Now that's a legal word. It's a court word. Our courts can't justify anybody. They can pardon people and let them off with murder, and often do. But they can't justify them. They can let a murderer go free, or they can let a criminal go free, and they can give them a pardon, but that sin, or that sin that they've ever committed, that crime, is still there on them. They've got it on their conscience. But when a sinner comes to the Lord and trusts Him as their Savior, God takes that sinner up into court again, And he looks at that sinner now through the sacrifice of Christ, and he says, you are justified. That's a legal word. It means you are declared to be righteous. Now, we're not righteous in our condition always, but we are in our position in Christ. And it's good to see yourself as God sees you and not as we see ourselves in the mirror. If you look at yourself in the mirror and start evaluating your spirituality, you're apt to become spiritually sick or proud, one of the two. You'll either be discouraged or you'll be puffed up with pride and think you're holier than everybody else. Justification gives us a perfect standing before God. And it's a legal word. It's a permanent word. Romans chapter 8 and 32 says, who can lay a charge against God's elect, God's children? It is God that justifies. So if the high courts of heaven justifies a sinner and declares that sinner is right, no devil or no man or no person can ever lay a charge in God's court against a Christian. We are justified, declared to be righteous. That's the first part of salvation. That's the part of salvation that delivers us from the penalty of sin, or so great a death, that death that the sinner will die in a lost eternity. So, every Christian has been taken into court, as it were. God's reviewed their case, and since they're trusting in Christ, God says, all their sins have been washed away, taken away. I now declare them to be absolutely righteous through the sacrifice of my Son. That's justification. So that's one aspect of salvation, and it's good to understand that. So a sinner will never be brought into God's court in the future, the great white throne judgment. A sinner, a saved person, will never be brought into that court to be tried for their sins. Talking to a lady the other day, she told me she was a Christian. She trusted Christ as her Savior, and then we were talking about that. She said, "I'm not living like a Christian." So I was trying to tell her the second part of salvation, which was sanctification. And I said, listen, if you're a Christian, I don't know whether you are or not. You're the only one that knows that, you and the Lord. But if you are a Christian and you're not living like a Christian, God isn't going to take you into court in the future. She was sure she was going to have to stand before the great white throne judgment and be judged for her sins. Listen, if any of us had to go to the great white throne judgment and judge for our sins, no way God could ever take us into heaven. He couldn't take us there. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, you can't come where I am. So no Christian is going to die in their sins because our sins were all judged at the cross. So I told that girl, I said, my judgment day is gone by. It happened 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. And that's where my judgment took place. The whole judgment of mankind was taken there. It doesn't do anybody any good. It didn't do me any good until 53 years ago as a poor, lost sinner. I put my trust in the Savior, and God took me back into court. Guilty as I was, He took me back into court, and now He acquitted me. He declared, you are absolutely righteous in my sight. That's imputed righteousness. Righteousness put down to our account gives us a right standing in the eyes of God. That's the first part of God's salvation. Now, it's good to know that. And it's good to be able to explain that to people when you're talking to them. We are justified. Somebody has paraphrased that. Just as if we had never sinned. That's justification. Just as if we had never sinned. That's why a Christian should never carry the guilt of past sins. If God doesn't care, then why should we? He says, as far as the east is from the west, I've removed those sins from you. He says, I buried those sins in the depths of the sea. He says, I've cast them behind my back in the book of Isaiah. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, he says, I remember them no more. God will never bring them back to his memory. Never bring them up again. That's justification. That's the first part of salvation. Takes place the moment you get saved, but it really takes place in heaven. That's where justification takes place, in the courts of heaven. And it's a permanent, it needs nothing added to it. It's a complete, permanent thing, and a person is eternally saved. Now, I've quoted a verse in 8 and verse 32 that might confuse you a little bit. Says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You say, were they elected to be saved? No. But once you are saved, you're elected. See, because Christ is the elect of God. Isaiah 42 and verse 1, my servant whom I have chosen, my elect, in whom my soul delighted. Christ is the only person that was ever elected of God before the foundation of the world. So, if he's the elect of God and all the purposes of God is him, then once I become a Christian and I'm in Christ, then I'm in the elect. So I'm one of the elect. Nobody's elected to be put in him, but everybody that's in him are elected because they're in him. So, that's the first part of God's salvation, and that's where security is in our position and in justification. Now, sanctification is an ongoing thing. We are sanctified when we're saved once for all. That is, we're set apart for God. But sanctification is a progressive thing. Salvation isn't all over when you get saved. It just started. And the fact of your eternal destiny is over and settled. But we're not there yet. So we have to live here on earth. And as we live on earth until the Lord comes, that's called sanctification. And sanctification isn't what sets us apart from hell forever. It's what sets us apart from this evil, wicked world in which we live. That's why in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 it says this, that Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So that's an ongoing aspect of God's salvation. That has to do with our soul. Justification has to do with our spirits. When God justifies a sinner that trusts Christ, or when a sinner trusts Christ, God puts in them a new spirit, an inner man. The Holy Spirit dwells, the spirit in man becomes alive, or the Holy Spirit dwells in there. Paul called it the inner man, or the inward man. That which is born of God is in every believer. It's in our spirits. But our soul, or our lives, we have to live on this earth. They need to be sanctified. They need to be set apart from this wicked, evil world in which we're living. That's an ongoing aspect of God's salvation. That's a time aspect, not an eternal one. It's a time aspect. And we need that constant sanctification from this wicked world in which we live. That's all part and parcel of salvation. Salvation from the penalty of sin has to do with our being justified in the courts of heaven. God declares us to be justified, and that we have a position before God where we're accepted in Christ. Sanctification has to do with being saved from the power of sin here on earth. As we live our lives, we're in contact with the wicked world, and sanctification has to do with us being delivered from this present evil world, to be set apart from this evil world. We're in the world, but we should not be a part of the world, and our lives should be lived differently than other people of the world. That's not often true. I think the biggest problem with Christianity, professing Christianity, and people that are really Christians, is that the standard among Christians is so low that the world doesn't see any difference between a Christian and themselves. And that's sad. So we're secure in Christ when we're justified. That saves us from the penalty of sin. But as we're delivered from this present evil world, that's an ongoing thing. That's sanctification. And the same gospel that justifies us in the eyes of God is the same gospel that can sanctify us. See, there are two aspects of the gospel. It might interest you to know that the gospel was preached for about 30 years in the book of Acts. And the word gospel is only mentioned 6 times in the book of Acts. It's mentioned once in the book of Revelation. 79 times it's written in the Christian epistles. Because we don't get everything there is in the gospel when we get saved. We just getting started. We're just taking the first step. And though we're saved, and saved for eternity, we're not in eternity yet. So there's a ways before we get there. And the writing of the gospel, when Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 1, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. What do you mean, Paul? They were already the saints of God. They were already saved. Sure, they were already saved. They were justified. But they weren't sanctified. And he's telling them that there's more to the gospel than justification. The same gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. And that salvation has those 3 aspects. To start with, it's justification. It's an ongoing thing. It's sanctification from this wicked, evil world. There's a grand truth in the book of Romans that you don't hear too much about in chapter 6. And it's this. We often think Christ died for our sins. That's great. But there's something greater than that. Christ died for me, the sinner. When he died, God saw that I died there too. See, when God saw my sins on him, he saw me in him, the sinner that was in him. Quite often in depth, having dealt with the states, especially in my new place, and people look at my gray hair and wrinkles in my face and things like that, and I tell them I'm only 53 years old, and they get a smile out of that. But I'm not wrong. They're wrong. You got 2 birthdays. Which one do you call your birthday? I want that old birthday. I was born a sinner. I want the new birthday. I was born a saint. I was born again. So I go by my new birthday. So I'm really only 53 years old. Now why do I say that? Because Romans 6 teaches me that the old Harold Smith that was born in Adam and the old sinner I was for so many years died with Christ. He not only died for my sins, he died for me too, the sinner. So God saw my sins on him and he saw me in him. There are two aspects to Christ dying for his people. Substitution for what we've done and representing what we were. Paul could say about the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not my sins, that's true. Gave himself for Paul's sin. But after all, sin wasn't our problem. It was that we were sinners. It's what we were, not just what we've done. So it's good to know that. That's where sanctification comes in. That's where we can see ourselves dead with Christ, buried with Christ, and risen in newness of life in Christ. I like the story of a little girl who learned that truth very early. She was saved, and she learned the truth that her old life was cut off in Christ. And a month or so after she was saved, some of her friends come along and wanted her to go to a dance. And she said something like this. Her name was Mary. She said, "No, Mary can't go to the dance because Mary died a month ago." And of course they were amazed. "What do you mean?" And she went on to say that the old Mary that they knew died a month ago when she trusted Christ as her Savior. Now whether she understood Romans chapter 6 or not, I doubt it. But she at least understood that the old life she had prior to a month ago, that old life was cut off in Christ. And that's the biggest hindrance that Christians have in being sanctified and separated from the world. They don't realize that their old life ended the moment they got saved. They had a brand new beginning. And that's where they should be living. To drag that old life and all the guilt of that old life and all of the companions of that old life and all the habits of that old life, to drag that over in your new life is the way to be a miserable, defeated Christian. And if you read Romans 7, you're going to see that. Paul illustrates that by a person that wanted to do the right thing, but he couldn't do it. And he ended up by saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But he knew the victory. He lived in the realm of the new life. Now, the sanctification has to do with our soul. And the word soul is just another word for our life. Justification has to do with our spirit. That's a once for all thing. When God justifies us, that we're born of the Spirit, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we have a divine nature within us, and that's permanent, that's justification. But sanctification has to do with our soul or our life. As we live our life from day. Now, glorification. God hasn't done anything to the old body yet. But that has to do with the coming of the Lord. And that has to do with the body. Of course, it will also have to do with this, with our lives too, because not only our bodies will be fashioned like and unto his glorious body, not only that, but our souls will be completely sanctified. We'll not only be set apart from this world, but we're going to be taken right out of the world, right out of the world altogether. And we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Our bodies are going to be glorified like his, but we're going to be absolutely righteous. We're not going to be God, and we're not going to be deity, but we're going to be impeccable in that we will not be able to sin anymore. If we were able to sin after we were taken to heaven, then God might have the same problem all over that he had in the Garden of Eden. But we'll be impeccable at that time in the sense that we will not be able to sin at all. So you see, salvation has three parts. Same as our being has three parts. We're justified in the Spirit, a permanent thing saves us from the penalty of sin. We should be sanctified in our souls or our lives from day to day. That has to do with our souls and the power of sin in the world. And when the Lord comes, we're going to be glorified and we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. That's going to be glorification. That's going to be salvation from the presence of sin.